Lies. They, how many of you know who that was by? Yeah, you think the Beatles, right? Mm-mm. The Knickerbockers. Lies. I can't believe a word you say. Lies are going to make you sad someday. Lies are breaking my heart. Friends, lies break hearts. Lies break your heart. Lies have broken my heart before. And I will tell you that lies absolutely, definitely break the heart of God. Now, lies is what we're going to talk about today. And, several years ago, I was at a conference in St. Louis. I wasn't living down here at the time. And so I met a couple of my buddies. They're both pastors. And we were hungry. We were searching for a restaurant near the hotel. And we found one. We got seated at the booth. The waiter came in. And it was one of those just surreal moments. He approached the table, bigger than life, and, "Hey, guys, how's it going?" He goes, "Welcome to Sonny and Char's," and said, "You can't beat the food here. In fact, let me make some recommendations for you. I want to suggest that maybe you get our award-winning spinach salad. It's the tops. It's the best you'll ever have. And our chef's chops, well, they're fantastic. The best thing on our menu, though, it's our prime rib. It'll melt in your mouth. Our steaks are the best in the Midwest." And so he kind of sold us on it, so we ordered the spinach salad, all of us did, and we got the prime rib. And so we sat eating our meal and visiting and what have you. And when we finished, waiter comes rushing to the table, and he almost running sometimes when he would come. He'd go, "Hey, guys, can I interest you in dessert?" And he goes, "Our pastry chef is the best in the St. Louis area." And we said, "No, just bring us our check." And so he brought the check, and when he brought it, we said, "Where's the closest movie theater from here?" And he gave us directions, and then he said, "Guys, could I make another recommendation to you? There are a couple strip joints down the road." And he goes, "The girls, woo!" He goes, "They are the best in the country." And so we said, "Carrie, we're not into that." He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." He said, "Most of the guys, when they come to town, they're looking for the ladies." And he says, what are you guys in town for?" I love moments like that, you know. It's like we all looked at each other, kind of smiled, and kind of let it hang there for a moment. And we said, "Well, we're here for pastor's conference." He goes, "Praise God, I love Jesus, you know. I believe in the whole Bible," and, you know, he just went down that road, and I thought, well, he believed in everything except the lust part of the Bible, but we settled our check. Carrie kind of scurried off, and we never saw him again after that. I mean, what was going on there? I mean, what was happening? Well, a lot of lying. I mean, first, he lied about the food. I mean, the spinach salad was sad. The prime rib did not melt in our mouth. It was full of fat. It was chewy. It was poor quality. And he was all over the map. I mean, one minute he's talking up strip clubs, and the next he's talking up Jesus. And you look and you go, well, exaggerations, falsifications, misrepresentations, a spin, a stretch, whatever you want to call it. There was a lot of lying going on. I was reading a recent study, University of Massachusetts. They found that 60% of adults cannot have a 10-minute conversation without lying at least once. In that study, they found that parents got lied to the most. 86% of kids admit to lying to their parents on a regular basis. 75% of adults admit that they lie to their friends on occasion. And 69% admit that they lie to their spouses from time to time. 40% admit to lying on their resumes. And singles, just a little heads up here, 90% of singles admit to lying on their dating profile. Sociologists say that we see and hear 300 lies a day. Actually, it was 200. I just wanted to show you how easy it is to lie, you know. People lie. The only thing that's up for debate on this is how often we lie. You know, lying, deception, it is prevalent in our society today, which brings us to the ninth command. Exodus 20, verse 16, you must not lie. Some versions say bear false witness. We're in this series, Top 10, and we're looking at 10 rock-solid commands from God. They're 10 values for living life. The ninth command is going to challenge us this morning. I can't lie. It's going to get in our face a little bit. So let me ask you something. What do you say when your back's up against the wall? I mean, what do you say when you have to close that deal? What do you say when you really want to impress someone? What do you say when you make a mistake and someone confronts you on it? I mean, what do you say? Do you exaggerate? You falsify? Do you misrepresent something? Do you put a spin on it? Do you stretch it? I mean, do you lie? Or do you tell the truth? You know, do you tell the truth in a honest, transparent, authentic way? What do you do? You know, God, throughout his word, he talks about truth-telling. God loves for us to speak the truth, to speak words of truth, whatever comes off our tongue, for it to be true. The Bible literally says that God is truth. You know, truth is tied to the very nature of God. And lying breaks the heart of God, because God knows the damage that lying does. Telling lies, believing lies. And when we lie, not only do we deceive other people, we deceive ourselves. And God knew that we would struggle with this one. And that's why he commands us, do not lie. Don't lie. We all know that it is becoming increasingly difficult to know what's true. Would you agree with that? I mean, it's getting difficult. You blog it, you post it, you tweet it, you say it, you state it enough times, and a lie morphs into a modern-day truth. And I want to say, lying is a dangerous proposition. It's destructive. You know, the psalmist writes, it says, you love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You know, Proverbs 6 names 7 things that God detests. 2 of the 7 have to do with verbal dishonesty and lying. Friends, you can track this sin, you can track it all the way back to the evil one. You know, Jesus described Satan, described his tactics, actually gave us kind of a resume on him when he writes, John records this, Jesus said, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan is a liar. And friends, many of us are sitting at his feet. We're taking a class from him. And we're becoming bilingual when we lie. You know, every time we lie, every time we say something that's not true, every time we're dishonest or deceptive in some way, every time we exaggerate or misrepresent something or falsify it, put a spin on it, you know, stretch it, tell a little white lie. Every time we lie, friends, every time, we are linking ourselves to Satan. If the truth were known, a lot of us are incredible liars. And today what I want to do is kind of expose some lies. And I'm going to use superheroes because I think we tell super lies. And so I'm going to use that. It'll be a little easier to remember. But the first kind of lie, I want to call it Superman, all right? Superman lies. Faster than a speeding bullet, you know, more powerful than a locomotive, able to jump tall buildings in a single bound. Look, help me, up in the sky, it's Superman. Yeah, I mean, mild-mannered Clark Kent. He'd transform into Superman. Man of Steel, defender of truth and justice. Well, a Superman lie, it's about anything but truth. They're the kind of lies that attempt to make us bigger, faster, stronger, better. You know, the lies that elevate us to that Superman status. You know, we make up accomplishments. We fabricate things. We exaggerate experiences. We act like we know celebrities or power brokers or whatever, that we know them so well that if we were to pass in the store, they'd high-five us and we'd hang out together or something. You know, we do it with that intention of getting the oohs and ahs of people. Ooh, look, Superman. I mean, Superman lies not only deceive other people, we deceive ourselves, don't we? We're attempting somehow to improve our self-esteem in that. But anytime someone's always telling you about that stuff, you know, all the accomplishments, all they've done, whatever, on and on and on, that name-dropping stuff, two things ought to become real apparent. Probably making it up or exaggerating it. And they probably have poor self-esteem. In fact, I've talked to people, and sometimes they'll get on a roll, you know, and pretty soon I just want to stop them in the middle of it and go, hey, Superman, you know, can you fly? I mean, anybody supersizing things these days? Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's a liar. It's a liar. There's another super lie. I would call it Storm. You know, I love Storm, the Marvel superhero. She was amazing. She was part of the X-Men, part of Avengers, part of Fantastic Four at different times, and she had this formidable power. She could control the weather. She could change a battle by conjuring up a hurricane or a tornado. And she would create massive destruction in what she did. Storm-type lies, they're all about revenge. They're all about destruction. You know, somebody hurts us or damages us or causes us pain, maybe a coworker or an ex or a friend, whatever, an ex-friend. We quickly strike, don't we? We know how to conjure up storms. We know how to change the climate, maybe at the office. We know how to create a shift in the atmosphere in our neighborhoods. We let the winds of lies start swirling around. And we know it's going to damage somebody. I mean, we're masters of climate change, aren't we? Let it storm. Just drop a few lies. The guy in the Old Testament, Joseph, the coat of many colors, we talked about him a couple weeks ago. But Joseph was a man who loved God. He was intelligent. He's handsome. In fact, there's quite a few scriptures talk about how good-looking he was. And I'm thinking, okay, like Ryan Reynolds, okay? He sees Miss Egypt. You know, that's Potiphar's wife. In the Hebrew, it's Charlize Theron, you know. It's not a lie. It's a joke, all right? I mean, she makes sexual advances to him. And he pushes her away. He He does what Scripture says. He ran. He flees the scene. And so she's upset. She knew how to change the environment. She knew how to conjure up a storm, and she twists the wind with her lies. And Joseph spends serious time in prison for it. I mean, it was a storm. It was a storm of lies, and it left destruction in its path. I mean, are you creating any storms these days? Creating storms with lies? You changing the atmosphere at your office, or the work site, at the club, at school? Be really careful there. There's another super lie. We'll call it Flash. Yeah, the Scarlet Speedster. Any Flash fans out there? Yeah. Able to move so fast. Violates the laws of physics. He could move so fast. Friends, we get in any situation and it gets uncomfortable, we respond in a flash. I mean, we respond with these lies, I call them lies of convenience, you know, the lies that violate the ninth command. Hey, you gonna be at the party? Yeah, I'll be at the party. I'll help you move. I'll pray for you. I'm sorry. He's not here right now. Can I take a message? And he's standing right next to you. You know, that looks really good on you. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Right, guys? That's a tricky one, isn't it? That sounds like a good idea. And so in a flash, we lie. We have no intentions of being there. We have no intentions of following through. We say it in a flash. It's not true. We don't mean it. But friends, if you're not careful, you'll become the scarlet liar. There's another lie, a human torch. You know, the human torch, he could engulf himself in flames. He could respond to fiery situations. And I love his line. Anytime he was getting ready to jump into the fire, he'd go, "Fire on," you know. And he would go into the fire and he could absorb it. You know, he could walk through it unharmed. And I think we take our cues from the human torch. I mean, what happens when it gets hot? What happens when the flames begin to leap around you? What happens when the pressure's on? I mean, what do you say when the police pull you over? What do you say when your boss presses you about a project that you're working on and you're behind? Young people, what do you say to your parents when you miss curfew by a few? What do you say to your spouse about the money that you spent? I mean, how do you respond to the fire? Because we lie to deflect the heat, don't we? We lie so that we can escape the fire. It's kind of our fire escape. You know, we mistakenly think to survive the fire that we must lie. You know, Simon Peter is having a conversation with Jesus. This is right before Jesus was arrested. And Jesus had told him that he was going to die. And so Peter kind of flexes his muscles. He goes, I'm with you. I'm with you. I will not turn my back on you. I will not misrepresent you. I am with you, Lord. You can count on me. And Jesus said to him, he said, Peter, you're going to lie about me. In fact, several times in the next few hours, you're going to lie. And in the gospel, when you read the story, it says Peter began following at a distance. And he put some distance between him and Jesus. And friends, that's always a sign of trouble when you start putting distance between you and Jesus. But the scripture says that night, several times people approached him. Finally, a little girl approaches him. You're one of them that was with Jesus. And he lied. He said, no, no, not me. See, he felt the heat of the flame. And he wanted to escape the fire. So he just lies. Here's another type of lie. Call it Mr. Fantastic. I love Mr. Fantastic. He's kind of rubber band man. You know, he had the power of he was elastic. You know, he could stretch. He could conform himself to any shape. He could adapt to just about any situation. And he had this just fantastic ability. So that's where the guy's name, Mr. Fantastic. Look what he can do. Friends, we like elastic lies, don't we? Where we can stretch things a little bit, embellish things a bit, when things aren't going well. By our words, we attempt to reform reality. We just stretch it in a different direction, don't we? More fantastic or more horrible than it really is. And here's the problem with Mr. Fantastic lying. As you're stretching it, as you're elongating it, as you're embellishing it, at some point, rubber band man, rubber band woman, at some point, the rubber band pops, doesn't it? And the snapback, it'll hurt you. It'll hurt other people, people you love. You know, Paul, he presses and he cautions Christians about the whole danger of distorting God's word. You know, Galatians 1, he says, you're following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it's not the good news at all. You're being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. New Testament times, there were false religions out there, and they did the rubber band thing. They were twisting, and they were stretching God's word. They were putting it into other forms, and the same thing's true today, isn't it? There are false religions out there twisting, you know, stretching things, falsifying, making misrepresentations. They're distorting the truth of God's word, and it's a lie, but people believe it. People believe it. And I've always said it's one thing to distort what someone else says, you know, maybe a teacher or spouse or friend, a boss, a pastor, whatever. But it's another thing if you're going to take and distort God's word. And it's not only false religions that twist it, but Christians. Christians, be very, very, very careful. When you begin to stretch God's word, to twist God's word to fit your lifestyle. I mean, we don't like verses that confront us, do we? And so what we do with those verses is we begin to twist them, elongate them, stretch them. Oh, they didn't really mean that. And you would think, that's fantastic, but it's a lie, and it's a damaging lie. Here's the last one. I'd call it Spider-Man. Now, I'll be honest, he's my favorite superhero by far, web-slinger. Love him. Swing from building to building. He could shoot webs. You know, he could capture villains in webs. He could tie people up in webs. We live in a world of web-slingers. I mean, it's easy to spin a story, isn't it? You know, spin a statement. You know, spin an excuse. And in fact, you can get so into spinning, you forget you're lying. Don't raise your hand on this. Have you ever told a little lie, just a little lie? And I don't like that term, by the way. A lie is a lie is a lie, but a little lie. And then you had to lie again to cover up the little lie. And then before you knew it, you had told a whole series of lies to cover up that little bitty lie. Web slingers, be careful. Because as you're spinning these lies, you're spinning a web, and you'll get tangled in it at some point. I mean, you will. God, Jeremiah records these words. He says, my people bend their tongues like bows to shoot out lies. They refuse to stand up for the truth. They only go from bad to worse. See, it gets worse and worse and worse as you go. They do not know me, says the Lord. And I know as I'm talking this morning, some are going, yeah, you're being a little technical. I mean, God's not really concerned about that little bitty lie that I told. We call them white lies. I don't know where we got that. It's like, a lie's a lie's a lie. But some are thinking, oh, give me a break. You know, you have to lie to survive today. No, you don't. You absolutely do not. I mean, some are thinking, oh, okay, I got it. So you're saying the Bible is telling me to tell the truth, so I should just say what I need to say all the time. No, I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying is everything that you communicate must be true. But not all truth needs to be communicated. Does that make sense? Paul writes, he says, so put away your lies and speak the truth to one another because you are part of one another. In other words, we are connected. It's going to affect the whole. You know, be careful what you sling out there. We are called by God to speak the truth. We're to speak the truth in love. And every time we're confronted with the truth of God's word, pick your poison. But every time God's word confronts us, we have this inclination to compare, don't we? In fact, right now, some of you are comparing your truth quotient to someone else's. True? And here's the funny thing. We never look around and go, who tells the truth more than me? We look for people that tell the truth less than us. As though God's going to grade on a curve. That's not how it is. I mean, you always will mess up, whatever the topic, when you begin to compare yourself to someone else. Although it's tempting to do, my advice is don't do it. Don't do it. It'll mess you up. And if you just have to compare yourself, then compare yourself to Jesus Christ. Don't worry about the person next to you, your neighbor, your friends. Just look to Jesus. That's why I laugh, because people will catch me once in a while and they go, well, you know why I don't go to church, because the church is filled with what? Hypocrites. In fact, turn to your neighbor, call him a hypocrite. Say, you're a hypocrite. Come on, do it with style. You're a hypocrite. We are all hypocrites. All of us. We all have said things that weren't true. We have all exaggerated. We have all told half-truths, which, by the way, is not the truth at all. We have all said we were going to do something that we had no intentions of doing. We have all been hypocrites. We've all been liars. We've all missed the mark, as Paul says. So what do we do? How do we get a handle on these super lies that tend to get into all of our lives? Well, first you got to start critiquing all your conversations. You know, pray this prayer on a regular basis. Just go to God and say, you know what, God, have I embellished something today? Have I elongated? Have I exaggerated? Did I put a spin on something? Did I lie today? And that simple prayer, I guarantee you that you will have times when the Holy Spirit will open your eyes. You're going to sense, oh, that situation. That's where I lied. And when that happens, you can't just go, okay, I messed up, on to the next topic. But you got to stay with it. You got to stay with it. Jesus said, so when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, in other words, if you're there, and I'm uncertain, but you're sitting at the altar and you remember that you've lied to someone, it says, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come offer your gift. go to them. That person you lied to or you stretched things with or you weren't quite straight with. And just admit, you know what, I spoke untruth. Make peace with them. I don't know what that'll mean, but you work it out. And three or four times of doing that, you will find you lie a lot less in your life. I know from experience. I've had to do it. You know, it's absolutely no fun to have to go to someone and say, I kind of lied or I wasn't quite straight about this. The benefits are huge. You can put your head down on your pillow at night, clear conscience. Second, it has quite an impression on the person that you had to come clean with. You know, they won't forget it. But you got to critique your conversations on a regular basis. And then you need to install a lie detector in your life, kind of like the drama earlier, you know, so that when you tell a lie, it hits your mind. You know, find somebody that loves you, somebody that's around you on a regular basis, that can kind of hold you accountable, can confront you. You know, when you're embellishing something, or you're exaggerating, or you're putting a spin on it, or stretching something, they're human lie detectors. If you're married, you probably have a lie detector already. I've seen it in social settings. It's kind of natural. You know, a husband will be like telling a story and say, we had this fire, this big fire at our house the other day. Flames were jumping like 6 feet in the air, and the wife will go, honey, it was like maybe 3 feet in the air. You go, oh, okay, well, anyway, these flames were really high. I almost burned my arm off. You singed a few hairs on your hand. Okay, but it hurt. It really hurt. And the fire, it got so out of hand, we almost had to call the fire department. You had to spray a little fire on the grill, honey. You know, I mean, you get the idea of what I'm saying. I've had that experience. You have too. Follow God's guides. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit here. John writes, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all the truth. I don't know why sometimes you talk about the Holy Spirit and things get really fuzzy for people, but I'll try and explain this quickly. When you bow a knee to Jesus Christ, you make him Savior and Lord of your life. When you put God on the throne in your life, the Holy Spirit begins working inside you. And he wants to turn you and me into truth tellers. And so what happens is you're having a conversation, let's say at work. You're having a conversation, and you feel that desire to kind of go haywire, you know, you want to impress somebody or you're trying to stay out of the fire or whatever. And so you begin embellishing something or twisting something or fabricating even something. And before you've even said anything, because it's going through your mind, you get that kind of that little nudge. Sometimes it's a punch, sometimes it's a kick. And it's that reminder, you're about to lie. You're about to say something that's not true. You know, you can almost sense and hear that voice of the Holy Spirit speaking for God saying, you know, don't do this. It's not worth it. And if you respond to that prompting, you know, you kind of throttle back. You can feel that love, the affirmation. You can sense the Holy Spirit just saying, way to go. You're going to stick with the truth on this one. That's what it means to allow the Holy Spirit to be your guide. I mean, that's one of the ways the Holy Spirit works in Christians' lives. Now, if you're not a Christian, you need to take that step and make Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord. I mean, you need to take that step. You need to do it today. Because one of the biggest lies that the evil one has is he will tell you over and over, you do not need Jesus. You just need to be a good person and everything's going to be okay. Do not believe it. It's a lie. Satan is a liar. Don't fall for his lies. You need to respond and you need to do it today. You just need to say, you know what? I want you as my Savior. I mean, it's really a simple prayer of just saying, I am a sinner. I believe, God, that you sent Jesus Christ, your Son, to this world to die for my sins. And I want you as Savior, and I want you as Lord, and I'm going to let you rule in my life. And if you haven't taken that step, I'd be glad to talk to you after the service. Make today the day. Embrace Jesus. Make him Lord and Savior of your life. Jesus is the truth. Truth will set you free. Whatever area of your life, truth will set you free. Truth will get the shackles out of your life. Truth will improve your relationships. Truth will improve our communities. Truth will improve this nation. But till we're people of truth, things are broken. And they're going to get worse. Friends, we need Jesus Christ and we need truth in this world. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. There'll be prayer teams down front afterwards. You want got something going on in your life, you want them to pray with you, they will do that. You can share as much as you want, or you can just come up and say, look, pray for me. I got some stuff going on. Maybe today's the day you make Christ Lord of your life. Teams will be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you. Make today the day. Truth will set you free, friends. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would make us people of truth. God, all of us here, all of us, we've stepped over that line. We've violated the commandment. God, we lay that at your feet. We ask for forgiveness. God, I pray as we leave this place that we would double down, that we would decide we're going to be people of truth, that everything we say would be true, absolutely true. And God, I know there are some here that your Holy Spirit's tugging on them, that they, or that you just hear the cries of their heart that they'd make you Lord and Savior of their life. Make today the day. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that when people talk about us, when they talk about this church, they would say they are people that are true. They speak the truth. They say the truth. They would say we're loving and we're gracious. Lord, that your name of Jesus would just shine in this community, God. We pray that you'd guide our steps, that all we say and all we do would be pleasing in your sight. And God's people said, amen. Let's worship together.